Kim Pagano flow. Wake up, hit the dial, yeah, it's time to go. Start your day right. It's the Kim Pagano Show. She's the voice of Ventura, heart of the coast. With the good news only, yeah, she doing the most. Talking life, love, health, and hustle. Bringing in guests who flex that muscle. From authors to docs, she's bridging the gap. Kim got the real talk, never no cap. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. She got that laugh, that light that lift you up. Whether you're driving or sipping from your morning cup, she'll ask the hard cues, still keep it kind. Dropping gems every time that you press rewind. Community strong, she's built that lane. With heart and hustle running through her vein. It's not just a show, it's a vibe, a tribe. So tell your whole crew, yeah, it's time to subscribe. Tune in, let the wisdom flow. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten. Start your morning with the Kim Pagano Show. It's positive vibes, it's purpose, it's real. It's coffee and truth with that local appeal. So when the world feels heavy and the skies feel gray, Kim's got a message to brighten.
Good morning and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I'm so glad that you have chosen to be here with us. And of course, I hope that you had an incredible week. And I'm excited to talk about our first guest. He's been on my show before. And before I do that, we always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is really whatever your belief is, whatever you do in your life, really, that's what it's all about. If you're going to do something, definitely put all your effort into it. In business, in everything that you do. Again, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008. I am excited to have Peter DeCrossel back. And of course, today we're going to be talking about his eighth book, Custom Made. And I love that. It's M-A-I-D. Palestine for New World Disorder, the two-state solutions. Why did he write it? Let's find out a little bit more about that. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you miss any part of our show, you can download our podcast. And, of course, those are on all platforms. And it's the Kim Pagano Show. Peter, welcome, and thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you for having me back, Kim. It's always great talking to you.
Well, thank you. So talk to us a little bit, first of all, your eighth book. It always amazes me, like, how long does it take to write these books?
It can take anywhere from 2 years to 20 years. One of my books I was working on for literally just over years, close to 15. That was the first book. But then this one, Custom Made Palestine, I only worked on for about 2-3 years, really, just right after the October 7, 2023 massacre by Hamas of people attending a peace concert in Israel. Right after that event, I started thinking it's time to come up with a solution so people in the Middle East, Gaza, Israel, stop killing each other over Palestine.
Your newest book, okay, this book is your, you tackle one of the most sensitive geopolitical conflicts of our time. And I don't really usually talk about politics, But I love that you feel like you know what's the responsibility to do as an author when writing these topics, correct?
Correct. Yeah, well, I think as you and your show constantly try to get across to your audience is that to have a healthy lifestyle and a good lifestyle, one of the key ingredients is to avoid conflicts and especially wars. And the one thing that is going on in the Middle East right now, whether it's the Houthis attacking ships in the Red Sea, whether it's Hezbollah attacking Israel, whether it's Hamas attacking Israel, most importantly, whether it's Iran attacking everyone, the whole one issue they all have in common, and what it's all about, is Palestine. Mm-hmm. Hamas is trying to remove Israel and put Palestine back there. Same with the Houthis. Same with Hezbollah. And they're all being backed by Iran and the mullahs there. People have to remember that before 1979 revolution, when the mullahs came to power, Iran and Israel had a great relationship going all the way back to Persian times. It was the Persians that restored the Jews to Jerusalem after the Babylonians destroyed the first temple and the Romans the second. And when the mullahs came to power, they avowed their sole purpose and primary goal in life is to restore Palestine where Israel is and wipe out Israel and death to America, and started funding Hamas, the Houthis, and Hezbollah, none of whom existed before. So again, it's all about Palestine. So I decided if everyone's fighting about Palestine and this war that is going on now in Iran with the blockage of the Strait of Hormuz and all the ramifications, inflation, higher gas prices, all ruining everyone's lifestyle, there has to be a solution to end this. And the solution is a very simple one. The Palestinians say they want a state, so we have to give them a state. They're right in asking for it, but not where everyone is fighting over, Gaza and the West Bank. You can't build a Palestinian state in the middle of Israel. It's like saying, let's give all the Mexicans that have been evicted here illegally, let's give them Ohio and Kansas in the Midwest, in the middle of the U.S. It just doesn't make sense. And when you look at the history of the region, that whole area was Palestine. As a province, there was never a country Palestine. There was never a state Palestine. Only a province that went all the way from Saudi Arabia, included everything that is Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Palestine, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, all the way to southern Turkey as a province. Palestine was never just in Gaza and the West Bank. So I'm saying all these new borders of Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Israel, they all came after World War II, where basically the United Nations.
So you think that's the biggest problem, Peter? You say Palestine has always been a province and never a state, right?
Correct. Correct. And so I'm saying let's put a Palestinian state in another part of the province, not Gaza and the West Bank, part of the province which includes northwest Saudi Arabia, part of south Syria, south Iraq, east Jordan, the Sinai, Egypt, part of the Red Sea, so they have a port, and it'll cost less to create a Palestinian state in the province of Palestine than in the $77 billion to just remove the rubble in Gaza. And you can build a state-of-the-art country with the best health, education facilities. And most importantly, Saudi Arabia keeps telling the U.S. they won't recognize Israel until a pathway to a Palestinian state is established. Well, here's the opportunity. Donate some land. Get Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Egypt, and you've got a Palestinian state. There is a two-state solution. but not in Gaza.
Right. And Peter, you refer to self-destructive Palestinian myths. What are they?
Well, the self-destructive nature is a result of epigenetics, about the impact of genetics on our behavior based on the behavior of our ancestors. And what I say is, and I point out in the book and have pictures of my dog and cat, if my dog and cat can get together, there is no doubt in my mind that Palestinian Arabs and Palestinian Jews can get along with each other as they did in the past. And it's just a matter of changing the education system. You can't have Palestinian kids in schools be taught math based on the number of Jews they kill. How many Jews are dead if you kill two here and three there? And so it's all a matter of changing the upbringing of the next generation or two. And a good example is what happened in the last presidential election here in the U.S., actually, Kim. In Michigan, where you have the largest Palestinian and Arab population, they didn't vote for Kamala Harris because of Biden's policy to Israel, and they voted for Trump, the person who imposed the Muslim ban, the person who moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the man who was so much more anti-Muslim, anti-Arab, pro-Israel than Kamala Harris. Why? Again, genetic behavior. Someone is supporting Israel or the Jews, the other guy or gal, even if they may be worse, may be better. So it's a pattern. And then even the Arab and Palestinian leaders in Michigan admitted a couple of months after the election that they made a big mistake in supporting Trump. Well, the same has happened in the past in the Middle East. They make the wrong decisions, political decisions. And that is right. Why they are in refugee camps in Arab countries. Let's not forget, all the refugee camps are in Arab countries, not in Israel. Why are they being held?
How do you know so much about this? Why is this such an interest to you?
Well, I grew up in the Middle East. I was raised in Cyprus in the middle of a conflict between, A, the Greeks trying to get rid of the British, and the Greeks fighting the Turks, because my dad was a reporter for the BBC. And then when the British schools closed down, I actually went to Israel for high school and then came back to the U.S. after high school. So I've lived in the region.
You see a way that everybody can get along, and really that's what this world is all about, right?
Exactly, exactly.
I love it.
You summed it up beautifully.
You use the phrase, to new world disorder. What does that mean to you?
Well, if you look at the world that we live in, if you recall a few decades ago, Bush said after the Berlin Wall fell down and the Soviet Union collapsed, it's a new world order. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to be great. My position is no, it's created a new world disorder. Everything is disorganized. The economies are all upside down. War is everywhere. Look at what's going on in Ukraine. Look what's going on in the Middle East. There are hundreds 100%. Of conflicts in Africa and Asia. So it's a world that is in total shambles.
Right. And I think it's divided. It's got so much division instead of bringing everybody together, correct?
Correct. Yeah, the algorithms of social media has created different silos, put everyone into their own echo chambers. And that's why in my book, one of the first things I open on is we have to cancel culture. People have to start talking to each other, listening to different points of view. That's the only way we're going to learn and leave a better world for our children and grandchildren.
I love that. And you strongly advocate for open dialogue, debate. And why do you believe this has become so difficult today? What are we losing because of it?
Again, I think social media has had a devastating effect on the younger generations and the people that are addicted to it. And they just keep listening to the same points of view. They are keyboard warriors. They can be loud and proud sitting at a chair punching away at a keyboard. But then when it comes to actually conversing with anyone, people have forgotten how to communicate. People don't communicate. People don't talk to each other. And I think it's essential that people get back, get out of their houses, meet their neighbors, talk to each other, discuss, disagree. It's okay. Maybe they'll convince you. Maybe you convince them, but talk.
But it's okay to have different dialogues, and it's okay to come from different worlds, and it's okay because, you know, that's what makes our world go around, right? I mean, that's really
Absolutely.
What makes us our world, is to hear all the different, you know, and not one has to be right or the one has to be wrong. It's just we're all, that's what God made us, right? We're all individuals.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that, Peter.
You're right.
Yeah, I love that. And so, first of all, where do our listeners find you and find your books?
The best place to go is to custommadebooks.com, spelled CustomMaidS books, BOOKS.com.
And Peter, why did you use the word made, like a made, M-A-I-D? I love that.
Because I say we the people are maids. We're constantly cleaning up the mess career politicians make. And then we are stupid enough to pay for the privilege of cleaning up a mess. And as someone who spends a lot of their time in Asia, I've never seen a maid there pay for the privilege of cleaning up my mess. So I raised the question, why are we the people such dumb maids cleaning up career politicians' messes?
How do you think it should be?
I think, you know, you go back to the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. They set up
right.
a great system of government, the one that is the best in the world, I think, and one that is still a work in progress. However, we have a Congress that is made up of a House of Representatives, the Senate, we have the President, and we have a Supreme Court. And how they work together is clearly spelled out. That is not happening. You've got a Congress that is gridlocked. No one's talking to each other. You've got a President that does what he wants. You've got a Supreme Court that, you know, a lot of people are questioning their ethics because of a lot of the corruption that has taken place at that level, where Supreme Court judges are flown by people who, you know, that are affected by their decisions. It's basically a free-for-all. It doesn't seem to comply with any of the guidelines set up by the Founding Fathers. And that is why I think you see voters now coming out and trying to vote out traditional elected officials.
Do you think it can ever be? Hasn't there always been wars? Hasn't there always been? Is there any way that we can really change it so that we can all get along?
It's difficult. I'm not saying it's an easy solution, but first,
right.
we've got to talk about it, and then we have to explore how we resolve it. But we're never going to do so if we don't talk to each other, or if we don't listen to each other, and we don't share and explore ways to do so.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Peter, always a pleasure to talk with you, and I love your way of thinking. You know, I just want to put that out there, is love your neighbors, help them. I'm so fortunate to have incredible, great neighbors. And, you know, if you see them, you know, going through some tough times, go and lend a hand. If you
exactly.
see other businesses, go and lend a hand. There is no competition. There's connection.
Right.
And that's really what it's all about. I love this. Peter. So good. Again, Peter DeCressel, thank you for being a guest. Love to have you back again. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, make an imprint in some of these differences. We need to get rid of the differences. So I love that.
Yeah, agree. And thanks for having me. And I look forward to coming back on the show.
You got it. And again, download our podcast if you missed any part of our show. And reach out to Peter. Reach out. Get his book. So, again, thank you so much. Take care.
Well, that was some really good stuff and some things that we learned there. And let's bring our next guest on.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back. I'm so excited. I have one of my friends and one of my members on here. And of course, we're talking about Lauren Rocket. She is a loan officer at Geneva Financial and a certified liability advisor. She actually helps homeowners, investors, and business owners across Southern California build real wealth from the liability side of their balance sheet. I love this. She is so exciting to work with. First of all, I love her personality, her bubbliness. She loves what she does. And of course, her brand, Bless Your Balance Sheets, exists because a loan alone is not a strategy. And of course, I am so excited to have her on my radio show. Lauren, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit, first of all, how you fell into this and how you, started doing this.
Oh, gosh. It's a very long story, but I'm going to keep it super short. My parents, I guess, they built custom homes when I was small. And through that, I was stuck at the home shows all the time, looking at houses and fixtures. And so I guess from a small age, I was kind of forced into real estate, but I actually truly loved it. So I've done everything. My first job was in real estate when I was 14 years old, which is crazy to think. But back in Texas, you could have a job then. And that's what I did. And so just learning the things between development, being an investor and being a realtor, and then on the finance side, you just kind of see things in a different way. And through all of these journeys, my job is always, I thought in this world, to leave it a little bit better than what I came with.
I love that.
Yeah, you're just able to find all of these little pieces. And so Bless Your Balance Sheet really came about by like growing up in Texas where, you know, they whisper about debt, like cash is king there. Debt is not something that you talk about. Debt is not something you have. Like if you can't afford the house cash, you don't buy it.
Don't buy it. Exactly. I love that. And really, honestly, that's how I've taught our children. My husband and I feel the same way. If you can't afford it, you could put it on your credit card for points, but you better be paying it off at the end of the month so you don't incur any interest. So I love that. Definitely in line with you on that. Okay. So talk to us. Have you always been a saver?
Yes and no. I mean, as a real estate investor, sometimes you get into a deal and you're going to have to spend, right? Like it's not, you think it's going to be a $40,000, you know, fix and flip really fast over a few months. And maybe it ends up being $140,000 over a year. As far as like me, I have a finance degree. So I was doing modeling and stock market games and everything since the beginning of my career. So yes, being a saver is part of what I do. I'm in the top 1 or 5% of some apps that are really great you can use on your own that can automatically withdraw money from your account every month to invest. So I would say, yes, I love saving, but of course, sometimes
like spending too, right? So that's,
yeah, you gotta spend it.
Okay. I love it. Investing. Really. That's what it's all about, right? Making your money grow.
If you're going to spend it all on things that lose value, maybe you should rethink that slightly.
Of course, your incredible brand, Bless Your Balance. Before we get into that, where did that come from?
In the South, you know, we say bless your hearts. It's kind of a nice statement sometimes. It could be a nasty statement sometimes, but I'm always on the positive side. So I think Bless Your Balance Sheets makes so much more sense. When debt falls through the cracks, that's where you lose your wealth. And no one talks about that when it comes to finances. People have that financial advisor. They have the accountant that helps on taxes, but they don't have that person in the middle making sure that all of these strategies are working together, number one. But the debts are usually not even on those plans otherwise. So being able to have that full picture, I feel like that's how you can really bless someone's balance sheet. she kind of like that fairy godmother in the magic wand.
Okay, I love it. I like it. So most people have heard of a loan officer, but what in the world, okay, is a certified liability advisor, and what do you do, and how does that matter?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I get that all the time. They're like, what in the world is that? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of mentioned before, you have your other financial professionals in your corner already. You have the CPA or a bookkeeper, you have a financial advisor, but again, no one's looking at your liability. So they think it's just a debit and a credit situation, but maybe there's something in the middle. I find that real estate kind of lands on its own side of the balance sheet. And that's something that those other professionals are not trained in real estate. People think for some reason, maybe through osmosis, they're getting, strategy recommendations from their financial advisor or CPA, but that's not necessarily the case. So people think they're getting information in an absence of information. And so that's where I can really jump in as a liability advisor. I look at liabilities just like your financial advisor looks at your assets. So we're looking at safety, we're looking at liquidity, we're looking at return. And it's not just about the rate or the payment, but it's about how it fits into that entire financial ecosystem and how it works along with what those other professionals are already advising you.
I like that. And now tell us about the three-sided balance sheet, because I feel like this is going to change how a lot of our listeners think about their money. Talk about that.
Absolutely. So, the three-sided balance sheet, you're going to think more about like your assets. And so that's like what you own. You're also going to think about your income, obviously, what you earn. And then that third side is the liabilities, and that is what you owe. So, again, most of those advisors, they're only working on two sides, your income and your assets. And
Right.
so that third one is completely neglected in a way, right? And so when no one's working on that liability side with a real strategy, that's where your wealth can usually leak. And when you start managing all three intentionally, you can see a positive impact and the whole picture could change.
I love that, Lauren. Okay, first of all, I'm so glad you're here. I want you to give out your phone number and your website again.
Sure. My number is 310-597-0343. You can reach me at laurenrocket.com. It's Rocket with two T's.
Okay, and she is a rocket, I'm telling you. Okay, so who exactly do should be working with you? Paint me a picture of someone who needs you and needs to call in right now.
I'm going to give like three quick little pictures. So the first person is someone who's a homeowner usually. You've been making your payments on time. You're just keep on going. Maybe you've had to refinance a couple of times, but maybe you don't know that there's equity there. Maybe there's a better place somewhere. Maybe you're thinking about how to leave your house to your heirs. Maybe you're thinking about becoming a real estate investor or downsizing. All of those things are impacted by your current position, your current loan, and your current plans, right? And the second is a real estate investor. As a real estate investor myself, it's almost shameful how few products I knew existed, how little people spoke about this in the industry. It's all just hard money or whatever, but there's so many other tools out there. And so real estate investors who want to really maximize their portfolio, those are the people I really like to talk to. And again, we can spool this up or we can wind it down 1 year, 2 years before retirement, but making sure you know what you're thinking about as far as are you looking to pass this on to those heirs? Are you looking to avoid the most taxes? Are you looking to sell for the most profit? So always coming to terms with thinking about this instead in the front instead of reactively, where obviously it's not going to be such a good end game. And then the third person is the business owner because they've worked so hard and you're paying everything off, you're doing everything right. But in a lot of cases, the business owner, they're pouring their heart and soul into their business. They might not have the right cash flow for their family. So if they're playing with debt every month and there's no plan attached to it, there's no leverage strategy, there's no end point in sight. So these are the conversations I have all the time, and I'd love to help these people.
I love it. I know I've heard you talk about debt done date. Talk to us about that.
Okay, debt done date is something I'm really, really excited about. People have a lot of debt, right? They have medical debt, student loans, credit cards, who knows? Every store has a credit card, and then if you have a mortgage, you have that too. So the debt done date really shows you the month and the year that all of those debts are done. And let me tell you, people are usually blown away. They think they're working really hard and they're like, "Wait a minute, I have 24 years left on this debt. Like, how am I supposed to survive?" So just knowing that can help you maybe structure things a little bit better, maybe think about things a little bit better. And when you see things, I'm the kind of person, once I see it, I can't unsee it. And I'm hoping to bring that also to other people.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, me too. Okay, if someone is a business owner and they're listening to this right now, and they have a mortgage, they have some debt, they may be doing okay, but they feel like something's missing from their financial picture, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would just say, like, you've worked so darn hard on your business, right? You've poured everything into it, and there's still a gap, right? You have those financial professionals who are managing your assets and they're managing your debts not so much. And that's one of those things that, again, as a real estate investor, I learned things along my journey that the normal person doesn't learn. They don't know that the tools are out there for them. They don't know that their strategy is for them, because most people use debt, unfortunately, retroactively, right? They're already in the corner, so you don't have very many options. So if you're a business owner, you could be leaving money on the table every single month.
Right.
And it's not a rate problem, right? That's a strategy problem, all the way through. And that's what I like to fix.
I love that, Lauren. Again, where can people find you? And of course, what is the first step someone should take if they want to work with you?
Ooh, I think the first step would be to go find your debt done date. I think that's a really powerful thing for people to do. To do that, you can go to debtdonedate.com/Lauren, Lauren, and you can find that in about 2 minutes. There's no credit pull, there's no obligation. Debtdonedate.com/Lauren, and you're able to get that number. Of course, if you want to go further, we have 25 different strategies to use with or without a mortgage to lower that date down. It's a very small monthly fee or a one-time fee otherwise to have your full liability advisor for life. But that would be, I think, a great start is regardless, knowing that number, you can go to laurenrocket.com to learn more or to book an appointment. I'm happy to share all of my resources. And again, call or text to 310-597-0343.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And of course, for our listeners out there, if you missed any part of this radio show program, definitely download our podcast. You can hear us there, The Kim Pagano Show on all platforms. And again, Lauren, can't wait to speak with you again. Such cool
Thanks so much, Karen.
setups.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, for our listeners that are just tuning in, you know, it's interesting. We're all traveling. At least I just got back from a couple weeks. And is your jewelry at risk this summer? Really, anytime you're traveling. And a new survey reveals that the biggest jewelry travel mistakes where valuables are most often lost or stolen, and why hotel safes may not be the answer for you. And of course, I'm excited. Joining us is Emily Veselind. Did I say that right?
Yes, perfect. Good job.
Oh, good job. Okay, great. Thank you. And of course, you are the editor-in-chief of Gem and Jewel. And of
Yes.
course, I love that. A jewelry enthusiast, somebody like myself. I
Yay.
love
We love
it.
jewelry.
I
I
love
love that.
jewelry. I love jewelry. So yeah, and Mark
So do we.
Smelzer, did I say that right,
You
Smelzer?
did. Yep, you're two for two.
Okay, good, good, good. So, and you're a consumer advocate at Jewelry Neutral. Well, thank you both so much for being here. And
Thanks for
talk
having
to us.
us.
You know, it's so weird. I literally, it's so in time. I don't know. I think the universe just puts it out there. But one of my girlfriends was out there traveling, and she just called me and I go, "How was your trip?" She goes, "Everything was great until I got like coming home." And I guess they bumped her off a trip. Then she lost all of her jewelry, and it
Oh
was like a
no.
not
Oh
anything
no.
like this, but she had like a knapsack, which she goes, "Mistake."
mistake to bring $5,000 worth of jewelry, you know, with you. And I'm like, oh, that's when you bring your, like, you're not so, you know, like, okay, it's gone. No big deal, right?
But anyway, you guys are going to tell us. Yeah, you want to be able to bring your fine jewelry. You want to be able to bring your diamonds and your cool colored gemstone jewelry. Mm-hmm. But you want to feel safe that if there, oh my gosh, is a loss, that you are covered.
Okay,
for that
so
loss.
How do we feel safe? Okay, talk to us. Let me talk to you.
Yeah. Yes, let me talk to you about packing. It kind of starts there. You want to pack less. You want less is more for sure. But you don't want to skip your favorite pieces. We want you to wear your favorite pieces. You know, you know how you don't feel quite like yourself when you're not in your favorite jewelry? You feel a little
100%.
Bit, like not polished. So bring your jewelry for sure. But just be smart. Pack a little bit smarter than you usually do. And follow the 2-1-1 rule. This is a rule that I really love, and it stops me from overpacking jewelry, overstuffing that jewelry box. So we're looking at 2 really cool, really awesome, really impactful earrings, or if you're more conservative, little cool, awesome gold huggies. You're gonna do one necklace, that's a 2, and then one necklace, and I would say make it a necklace that you can wear all the time, that you don't take off. Some kind of cool chain, maybe it has a pendant, maybe it doesn't, but you love it, and it goes with everything.
Right.
And then your last thing is either your engagement stack, if you love that and that's sort of like your thing, you can wear your engagement stack, or else a statement ring, something that you can wear to dinner every night if you're in Hawaii or someplace great, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then, like, it works both ways, right? Then you're packing those 4 pieces, but then when you're in the hotel, you're not scrambling around looking for like 6 different earrings.
Right.
You know what you've packed.
It's just
you
the
know
four.
You've got to get back into the box.
I love that. I love that.
It's
you know
really
what's
cool.
so funny is, yeah, I kind of not really on the same track, but I change purses and I'm all discombobled and I do not like that. I'm like a very organized person. So I'm like, okay, because we were on a trip and I didn't want to carry my big purse. So I put a little one. And anyway, so yes, it's staying on target with what you brought
That's
with
right.
you. I love
Keep
that.
Keep it simple and easy
Keep
to remember.
Keep it simple. And you know what another tip for that is? Because I change purses as well, and I know it can get really confusing. I have several different, I don't want to say several. I'm a jewelry person, so I have more than most people probably. But I have 3 or 4 great zip-around hard case travel cases. And if I'm going somewhere that is beachy, I'm taking the smallest one. And if I'm, you know, moving from hotel to hotel or place to place, that small thing, it dumps into the next bag, so that you're not sort of chasing down jewelry. You have it in a little square box.
Right. And you don't want to check it in the plane. You want to have it on you at all times.
Yeah.
And also
great advice.
You know, people are always thinking about loss or theft, but there's also damage. If you've got all your jewelry in a Ziploc bag and it's jostling around as you're shoving your bag underneath the seat in front of you, it can get damaged as well. So
Metal
proper jewelry cases are great.
Absolutely. Yeah, and also there's also this whole thing about convertible jewelry, which is that sort of like transformer style jewelry that, you know, you can turn a necklace into a bracelet, you can click pieces on and off earrings, you can like add charms to things, bracelets, necklaces, and it makes it so that you're not taking 6 or 7 pairs of earrings.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
you're just
doing
taking
double, triple duty.
Like these things are doing double duty. They really are like doing you a solid when it comes to versatility and your ability to
never even thought of that, Emily.
Yeah.
That's really
good.
I like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like this. I like this. You're talking to me, let alone all my listeners.
I'm talking to you.
You should walk a trade show floor with Emily one of these days. You'll have a blast.
I love it. So let me ask you, first of all, where did all these come from? Because is this happening to everybody out there? Like, this is just a survey that you guys took, right?
Yes. So, you know, we've been insuring jewelry for 131 years at Jewelers Mutual. And, 113.
Yep.
Wow. But so, you know, we are well aware that travel is an increased time. Like you were saying about your purses.
Yeah.
You're not putting stuff in the normal spot. I just on a family trip, I couldn't find the stupid rental car keys the entire time.
Yes.
I wasn't putting them in the same place, right? So there's all kinds of risks that go along with travel that are pretty classic. What was really interesting, though, about the survey that we just did, the misconception that if you're wearing your jewelry, it's safe. 61% of losses occur while you're wearing your jewelry. A clasp breaks, your earring falls off, etc.
Yeah.
Also, though, 46% of theft occurs while you're wearing your jewelry. So just good
yeah,
to know that.
Yeah, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so it's just good to know that, like, when you have it on you, it's not yeah. absolutely safe. The other misconception is about jewelry safes in hotel rooms. Jewelers Mutual highly recommends that you use the safe in your hotel room. But they're not foolproof. You know, sometimes you can't mm-hmm. figure out how to press the buttons, or maybe the door doesn't latch all the way.
Or you just didn't push that lock button.
Yeah, the stupid lock button,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
And so in all of it, it just speaks to really why we think the number one thing on your travel checklist before you leave is to insure your jewelry with a reputable, dedicated jewelry insurance company like Jewelers Mutual. Because, you know, Emily and I, we love jewelry.
We love jewelry.
We want you to love jewelry. We
yes.
want you to
you
enjoy your jewelry.
Jewelry.
Have
yes.
fun with your jewelry. Wear it. Feel secure. Travel with it. The best way to do that is to have the peace of mind to know that it's insured. And you know, one of the things we didn't talk about is when you're traveling, you know, you want to be wary of the stores that you buy from.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you vet them on your phone and that they're
yes.
they're legitimate.
You don't want to just buy willy-nilly when it comes to fine jewelry
There's
when you're on vacation.
There's a lot of scams on tourist
locations. A lot of gold-plated pieces that
yep.
are priced mm-hmm. as solid gold.
That's
you
right.
You want to be really careful. And you vet on your phone,
That's right?
right.
Yep. Yeah. And the cool thing is if you've got a jewelry insurance policy with us before you leave
yep.
and you buy a piece of jewelry on the road, you can pull out your phone right there in the store, put in the information, and walk out of that store knowing that you're covered. Take it right back on the cruise ship, enjoy it for the rest of the trip, and really have that wonderful peace of mind.
Near instant.
Oh,
coverage.
I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And now let me ask you, Jewelry's Mutual is that a separate account that you need to have, a separate insurance, instead
yes.
of having like a homeowner's insurance?
Yes, absolutely. So homeowners and rental insurance may or may not cover you, and there can be complications. And we just sort of, mm-hmm. our rule of thumb is leave the home to homeowners.
That's right.
Leave the jewelry to jewelry insurance. The great thing
okay.
about jewelry insurance with a company like Jewelers Mutual is we don't just give you a check that you might be tempted to buy something else with, or, you know, that it may not be of the value. We get you back into your favorite retail location. You're back in front of your favorite retailer. And together, we get that piece of jewelry replaced. Because, you know, one of the things that we love about jewelry, as opposed to other luxury goods, is the emotional connection people have with jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
It's really unique. You
it
know,
is.
There's a story behind every piece of jewelry.
There's
usually
an emotional
celebrating
a milestone.
Yeah,
yeah,
something that you inherited from
yeah.
your grandmother.
Yeah.
Or
you bought
or
for yourself,
yourself
because of the success. Exactly.
Yeah.
Treat yourself, yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, yes, you can't get that exact piece back, but the next best thing is to get it replaced
yeah.
with the identical piece or something very, very similar, so you can then fall in love with that piece.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. I love it. You know what, you guys, I'm telling you, this was so for me because my grandmother left me a ring, and I hid it somewhere so long that I could not find it.
Oh,
and I was
goodness.
Like, oh my God, I don't deserve this ring, right? And then
no.
my husband, oh my God. So let me tell you, this is so needed. I love it.
Yeah.
Where can my listeners find out more about this and, of course, to get their jewelry insurance?
Great. So jewelers, like jeweler with an S, jewelersmutual.com/travel. Is where you can go for all the tips that we have of keeping your jewelry safe when you travel and every day. And then while you're there, you can get a quote. It's surprisingly affordable. Depending on the piece of jewelry, it can be less than a cup of coffee a month.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I love it. You guys were fun and very great tips. I appreciate you. And
it was
again,
great talking
please
to you.
Share our show with everyone and
you.
Download our podcast. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day. Take
okay,
care.
You too. Have a
All
great
right,
rest
travel.
Of summer. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. And I actually had David Hayes Cox on our show. I think it's been a couple weeks, I don't know. The days kind of blend together. But anyways, I just really loved what he did and wanted to bring him back so that we could not so much surface, but actually dig a little deeper into this. And so, for our listeners that maybe hadn't heard this, I'm not sure, but you'll hear it again today. Also, I want to remind you to download our podcast. And of course, that is The Kim Pagano Show. But I would love for you to tune in and take us with you. And also follow us throughout our social, too. And of course, David Hayes Cox is the author of This Is a Gun. And of course, I know that little controversy there just because of the way the world is right now, but this is really a safety guide for your families with children and really just for our families. And so, welcome again, David. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
Yeah. So briefly just go over what your background is with the gun safety.
Absolutely. Yes, I've been training with firearms for about 2 decades now. It started out as a curiosity, and then it developed into a hobby. And from there, I got my NRA certifications for firearms instructor, firearms home safety instructor, range safety officer. And I've held concealed carry permits in a number of states as well. And so that's really my background when it comes to firearms.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think everybody should have a gun or nobody should have a gun? Because that's like a huge question that we, like nobody should have a gun, okay? Or, and I think it's really like for me, it's being in the right hands.
Yes, I think you've answered your own question there, which is that I don't think either extreme is the right answer. We live in a very unique country, one of the few places on the earth that puts the right to bear arms into our Constitution. And with that right comes a serious responsibility. I do not think that it was put there as a fact of the times of when the Constitution was created. I think it was put there because our founding fathers, when they created, this document, they wanted to make sure that it would be upheld, and that's why the Second Amendment is actually the Second Amendment, right? They didn't put the right to bear arms down as the 10th Amendment. They put it as number two.
Right,
Because
right.
they realized, how are we going to uphold everything in number one? What is going to stop the power from running away and putting us back into the same position that we've already been in once before? And they
Got it.
said, well, if the citizenry is armed and well trained, then this will be a stopgap. So I think it's a very important part of our Constitution, but also I don't think that everybody should have a gun. I think if you believe that that's something that you want, either as because it's a hobby you're interested in, or for personal protection, I think that you should seek out training and learn as much as you can, and then that gives you the right to operate one safely.
It's almost like when you say that, it makes me think of a car. Okay, you need to get a license. There's things that you need to do, and you need to treat it as a deadly weapon, like a car, like a gun, correct?
Exactly. This is we don't go out and just buy tools that can possibly harm us and just, willy-nilly just start flinging them everywhere, right?
Correct.
If you're going out to buy a chainsaw, you're gonna look up how to use one before you start cutting down trees. Otherwise, you're gonna get yourself into some trouble.
Love it. I love it. That
So
says a lot right there. Yeah. So tell me about your book. Who should it be for, or who is it for? And what are we going to find in there?
This book, like you said, it is for everybody, but specifically, it's aimed at parents. To have the gun safety conversation with their kids, which is a very difficult conversation to have. It's simple. The state of our country that we're in right now, having this conversation with our kids scares a lot of parents. Most parents are scared to have this conversation. I understand why they're scared, but the statistics show not having this conversation put your kids in more danger than having it. So this book is there to help facilitate parents and walk them through having a safety conversation about firearms with their children. And this isn't just aimed at gun-owning families. This is aimed at all families, because whether you're a gun-owning family or not, your child is out there in the world. They're playing at friends' houses. They're exploring the woods. They're playing at parks. And as a parent of an elementary school age child, you know, you can't put a leash on them. That's not healthy, right? You can't hover over them every single place that they go, right? You give them a little bit of ground. You give them some trust. And you let them go on their own to a certain extent. And what we don't want to have happen is we don't want them to be out there, come across a gun, which is a real possibility. The statistics that we get into.
100%. And even though if your household doesn't have a gun, you know, maybe they're going to be, you know, at somebody else's household. And, you know, I mean, they could be, you know, up against that. Have you ever gone to schools to talk about that with school age kids?
It's something that I'm preparing for right now. I'm developing a talk, and I'm going to be going to schools later on this year. I haven't done it yet, but it's part of the pipeline. And that's probably going to be the long lasting part of it, which is that the goal is to take this organization and aim at schools and really kind of help this country understand that this is a conversation that can't be ignored.
I love it. I think that's so important. I think all of our schools should have that, you know, as part of their curriculum at this point of our life, you know. And of course, knowledge is, you know, is needed, as well as knowledge is golden. And so I think that that's it. What are we going to find in your book?
Yeah, you're going to find two very important things. First, the steps that a child should take if they ever come across a gun, which is stop, you know, it's don't touch, run away, find an adult. You know, don't touch, run away, find an adult is the three steps that a child needs to learn. It's three easy steps for them to memorize. And it just needs to be part of their
learning,
but it just needs to be something that they intrinsically just can reflexively repeat back to you in the end, right? This isn't a conversation that you have once with them. It's a conversation you have multiple times. You start with the book to help you ease into it, and then you can put the book away and back on the shelf for the rest of it eventually, right? And then you just start talking to your kids in the kitchen or on the way to school, like, what do you do if you ever see a gun? Don't touch it, run away, find an adult. So that's really what we do in the book is, we take the kids through a lot of different situations where they might find themselves and get them to repeat back to you. What should you do? What do you do if you find a gun in this situation? Don't touch, run away, find an adult. What do you do if your friend wants to show you a gun? You tell them, no, I don't want to see it. And then you run away and find an adult. So that's a big part of the book. But the second part of the book, which is what I think is just as crucially important, is how to identify a firearm. So right. we walk the child through the different sizes of firearms, how they can be very small, how they can be very large, the funny shapes of firearms, because firearms come in all kinds of shapes and all kinds of sizes. And then we get into some life-size images of guns. On the cover, there's a life-size image, and there's a library in the book of life-size images of guns, because a child could repeat back to you those three steps, you know, perfectly. They could know it intrinsically. But if they can't identify a real firearm, then even if they know what to do, if they see a real firearm, they might think it's a toy. Mm-hmm. And if they think it's a toy, they're going to not follow those steps. So what this book does is it says, hey, I know you might have an idea in your head about what a gun looks like. And what I really try to explain to parents that really don't want to have this conversation is that kids, what they have in their head about firearms is mostly all positive. They get an introduction to guns through video games, through cartoons. They're heroes. The good guys are using firearms in these situations to defeat the bad guys. They know Nerf guns. They know squirt guns. All of these things are fun and positive, right? So we need to inoculate our child and say, hey, wait a minute, that might be your idea of what a gun is because of what you've seen on TV or in your video games, but that's not what a real gun is. A real gun is dangerous if you're not trained how to use it, and it can really hurt you or somebody that you love. And the other thing is that, you know, when kids think about what a real gun looks like, what I found, and it's really revealing, is that kids think that real guns are huge. They think that they're these giant hand cannons because when they see them on TV, television shows, movies, they like to use giant guns on TV because they show up better on screen. So kids think that real guns are these gigantic things. So when they see a picture of a real personal protection micro, you know, handgun,
yeah,
you know,
it might be fake, it might be toy, right?
They think, exactly, they see it and they see how small it is and they go, that can't possibly be real, that must be a toy, therefore I can touch it, right? And that's what we've got to drill out of them.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. Is your book for only young children?
The primary age for this book is really K through 5.
Okay.
That's when it can do its best work. Okay. Obviously, you can take this book and apply it at older ages as well as just an introductory, but it really is a K through 5 guide. It's for the age where they're typically too young to start training with firearms, if that's something that your family is interested in doing for your child. But it's also, you know, anything below K, it's also hard for a child to grasp the importance of the lesson below K. So, you know, some children can, right? You have to know your own child. Some younger children in preschool ages can understand those lessons, can grasp them. But typically K through 5 is that window, that precise window where they're going to be able to take this information and take it seriously.
David, first of all, thank you so much for being here. What's next for you? I think this is such a, can go way across the board. What's next for you, and how do my listeners find out more about you?
Yeah, you can go to thisisagun.org. The goal is to turn this into a self-funding nonprofit organization that is just specifically about, you know, spreading the gospel of gun safety for children, really about teaching all parents in this country that they need to have this conversation, whether you're gun owners or non-gun owners. You need to teach your kids guns are real. They're out there in this world. They can really harm you if you don't know how to use them. So best thing to do if you ever see one is never assume that it's a toy. Always believe that it's real until confirmed that it's not. Always never touch it first. Always find an adult and ask. You know, this is a lesson that seems so obvious, but we're not having this conversation.
I love it. Again, David, like I said, that's why I wanted to bring you back. We are not having this conversation, and I think everybody should. And of course, thank you again. I love it. I did want to give away some books. So any of our parents that are listening or grandchildren are listening, David was nice enough to send us some books. Give us a text right now at 805-419-0008, or you can call us and give us some of our team member will get back with you. And that's again, 805-419-0008. David, I'm going to have you back again because, again, I think that this is so important. So, and important for adults too. It's a peace of mind. So, again, please share our show with everyone and download our podcast. And I look forward to talking with you. And thank you again for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. I hope that you enjoyed all of our guests. And, of course, download our podcast on all platforms. That is The Kim Pagano Show. Also, I want to remind you to definitely, if you have a business or you want to meet new people, check out our members meeting. And of course, that is the Connect. Also, our next business mixer is August 20th in Newberry Park. You can text us at 805-419-0008. I end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. And today's is to accomplish great things. We must not only act, but also dream. Not only plan, but also believe. Believe that it's already done. With that, have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.